Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to Susan in Williamsville, a lady. And by the way, female and male symptoms can often be different for a heart attack. Susan, what happened to you?
Hi. I called in before. This actually might not be good for me because I'm nervous and upset. Now my heart's beating really fast.
Well, I don't want to hurt you, but what you can do is just you and me talking on the phone, and just take a deep breath in and let it out, and a deep breath in and let it out. And we're on a beach right now in Mexico, and we are drinking an umbrella drink, and people are going to wonder what we're going to do by the pool, but it's just the two of us. You feel totally better now. And what happened?
Well, it's just bizarre that you are talking about this, because it did happen to me. Very surreal. Like you said, everything that you were saying, I was just sitting here working from home and listening, and I thought, I can't believe this is his subject, and everything you're saying just hit home so hard. And I am one of those people that was meaning to reach out to you, because some of your words were stuck in my head that night, five and a half weeks ago. So I'm 51, and I'm a little too chubby, but other than that, I don't have any risk factors people would think of. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm not diabetic. All the things you might think of. I'm not on any medication. Heartburn here and there, but anyway. And I was 100% fine. Nothing was wrong. I felt great. As a matter of fact, I was about to go walking, because I try to go walking a couple of times a week and try to live a healthy life. I don't drink, I don't smoke, blah, 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 all the things. And I had just picked up my child from lacrosse practice, and I was up in my room, and my son was in the shower, and my husband was traveling for work at the time. And I was just tidying up the bedroom. I had my workout clothes on. I was about to go for a walk, and I was just about to turn and say, I'm going to go walking. And it, for me, was like a classic movie heart attack. I have said it felt like someone threw a pitchfork at my chest from across the room and impaled me with it. And I froze. I won't swear, but I, in my mind, said, what the F is this? And you're so right. You're in such incredible denial. I thought, what is this? And I couldn't move. I was frozen with fear and pain. But then very quickly, it moved up my neck. That pain moved into my jaw. My tongue hurt so bad. And then within like less than a minute, it started flowing down both of my arms. And I said to myself, myself, am I having an effing heart attack? No, I can't. This isn't what it was. And to make a painfully long story as short as possible, I got myself downstairs. My first thought was I'm going to take myself to the hospital just to be on the safe side. And then I very quickly realized I was incapable of driving. My son is a fairly new driver. And as soon as I heard the shower turn off, I managed to yell to him and say, "You have to get me to the hospital," because I didn't want to feel stupid calling an ambulance and to have them get here and then for me to be fine and have wasted, you know, their valuable time. This was at about 9:30.
Well, or the way ambulance companies are wasting about $8,000 of your hard-earned money for a two-mile ride. Yes.
Yeah. And he, you know, jumped, my poor child jumped into action and was going to take me in. And a combination of things happened. I was leaning on the kitchen counter because I couldn't stand straight. I was in, my chest hurt so bad and my arms and everything else. And I thought to myself, this isn't safe for him. He's not a good enough driver yet. And he's going to be trying to speed. This isn't safe. And then something not whispered in my ear, but my gut said, "You're in really big trouble. You better call 911. And I did. I couldn't finish the call. My son had to take over. And about 10 minutes later, I died on my kitchen floor. My heart stopped. And I stopped breathing. Flatlined, if you will. Sorry. Thank God I had called 911. Because the paramedics were already at my house.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank God I live where I live. Thank God I was where I was. If anything had been different, you and I would not be talking right now, because they were already in my house. They already had me hooked up to EKG leads. And when my heart stopped, they immediately started CPR and defibrillated me and then did more CPR, and I came back. That's a bizarre feeling.
I can't even begin to imagine. Can you, I know that this is difficult to talk about, Susan, and one of the things that people don't understand about heart attacks is there's a reason when somebody is sad, we say they have a broken heart, because heart attacks, in addition to having a very serious physical component, sometimes electrical, sometimes plumbing, sometimes both, have an extremely vivid and strong impact on your emotion. And this just happened 5 weeks ago. What was it like when you came back? Was it like, have you ever passed out before?
No.
Okay, so you'd have no basis of comparison, but it when you pass out and you come back to, it's a very surreal, what the hell, where am I, who am I, what am I, it's that kind of a feeling. Is that what you had?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll get into it if you want me to, but I did go somewhere when I was down.
Can you describe where you went or what it was like?
It was amazing and absolutely beautiful. And it sounds so cliche because of the stories that maybe people have read about what happens. And it was this incredibly warm, precious, joyful, glowing light. And I was in a really, really beautiful place, and there were tons of people there. I couldn't tell you who was there. I just knew that I knew everybody. And I was super happy, and I kept looking around and going, this is so beautiful. Who put all this together? I'm having such a great time. And Tom, I swear on my soul. If you ever watched like a video of somebody bungee jumping, and when they, you know, when they snap back, when they get to the bottom of the rope and they're pulled up really quickly back toward the bridge or whatever they jumped off of, it was honestly like someone, something had that type of thing tied around my trunk of my body and pulled me backwards out of there at a billion miles a second.
Susan, this...
And then I was back on my kitchen floor.
You know, you... I need you to hold on. I've been doing this a long time, and this is one of the most compelling phone calls I have ever taken from anybody on any topic. You are putting into words. The story you're telling is amazing. There are lessons to be learned from it. I have a lot more I want to ask you. You're doing a great job. So just sit back, just take some deep breaths. And folks, I'm sitting here transfixed by what she's describing. And Susan is calling from Williamsville. She's 51 years old. She had just picked her son up from lacrosse practice, was getting ready to take a walk, had her walking clothes on, and then suddenly felt like a pitchfork had been hurled at her from across the room, made her way downstairs, had the presence of mind to have her son, who thank God was there, call 911, and she could not complete the call to 911 because at that point she was in the process of dying. And when we left her, she was talking about being defibrillated by the EMTs who responded just in the nick of time, and being in a beautiful place with thousands of people that she knows or knew, even though she could not identify by name, but she just felt totally at home there. And then when her heart kicked back in after it was defibrillated, having a feeling like she was pulled from that place back onto her kitchen floor. You want to pick up the story from there?
Yes. The break was timely because I got myself together.
It's all good.
So just like you said, when you pass out or whatever, you come back. I was very confused. I felt like I had been gone quite a while. And I remember I said to the paramedics, am I on my kitchen floor? But it was really hard to talk. Someone joked with me later, well, you were like a computer being rebooted. I got turned off and turned back on again. It was very difficult to speak. I know you've had surgery, if anyone else has, when they give you Dilaudid, like right before you go in and you feel like you've had way too much to drink. That's what I felt like. And I did ask them, did you give me something? Like, I thought they put something in an IV, I don't know. And they said, no, we didn't give you anything. And they said something along the lines of, you took a little trip, but we got you back.
Wow. That's amazing. Do you happen to know how many joules of electricity they used?
I don't.
Sorry, that's kind of a stupid question. So I presume they transported you to the hospital. May I ask which hospital they transported you to?
Gates.
Yeah.
They said it was the only place to go.
Absolutely. They did you a solid there. And I mean, in your location in Williamsville, Gates, Mercy also is very, very good. So when you at that point on the drive in the ambulance to the hospital, did it finally settle in as reality? It wasn't like, am I having an effing heart attack, but I am having a heart attack.
Well, it was like being in a movie or on a TV show, because they did have the sirens. I was in an ambulance with the sirens on. And every time, you know, prior to this, when I see that, I say a quick prayer and I say, boy, someone's not having a great night. I hope they're going to be okay. But this time I was in there, and the sirens were on the whole time. There was a young lady. Maybe it shows that I am 51, but they looked like kids to me. I was thinking to myself, these kids are saving my life. Right now, there was a young lady, and then there was, I would say he was the lead paramedic. He seemed to be in charge, if you will, behind my head, and they were in constant contact with the hospital.
Right.
I'm not completely aware of what they were saying, but at one point I did feel like I was going to pass out, and he reached over my shoulder and he grabbed me, I think hard on purpose, and kept calling my name and said, "You need to pay attention to me. Are you looking at me?" And I was like, "Yes." And he said, "I need you to open your eyes and look at me." And I remember thinking, God, okay.
Oh, they knew what they were doing, man. You got some great people helping you out. And did they take you immediately to cardiac ICU?
Yes, Tom. Because I live in Buffalo, I'm alive. Because from the moment they took me from my house to the minute I was in the cardiac cath lab, it felt like 5 minutes. They practically ran down that hallway with me.
We kind of switched over to your stories of having a heart attack. And so far, I've had one caller on the air because she is one of the best callers I've ever had, like ever. And her name is Susan. She's in Williamsville. She's 51 years old, had just picked up her son from lacrosse practice, was ready to take a walk, had her walking clothes on, and felt like a pitchfork was hurled at her from across the room. Made her way downstairs. Incredible chest pain. Initiated a call to 911, which she could not complete. Paramedics showed up at the scene. She had flatlined. She had basically died. She was defibrillated. In the ambulance, they kept her awake. They kept her attention. They rushed her into Buffalo General. And all of this, although it probably took about at least 20 minutes from the time we started that little narrative until the time we're at Buffalo General, seemed to her as if it was about 5 minutes long. And what do you remember next, Susan?
I remember being in the cath lab, and there was an amazing nurse there. I'm trying to find out who all these people are to somehow thank them, and she was wonderful, and she just kept holding my hand and really close, like her noses were practically touching, looking at me and saying, "You're not going anywhere tonight. Do you hear me? I'm a BITCH, and I don't let anybody go, and you're not going anywhere. You're staying." She just kept saying that. "I'm here with you. I'm here with you." And good, bad, or otherwise, they cut my clothes off, and I didn't think that they gave me anything, but they must have. And then I was in the cath lab, and multiple people were there. I don't know how long I was in there, but they did place a stent. I, too, am a member of the Widowmaker Club. And they placed a single stent in my LAD. And then I spent several days in the CICU and then a couple in the step down, and I'm home. They have since changed my diagnosis to something called SCAD, which is spontaneous coronary artery dissection. If we all remember the wonderful John Ritter, he passed from SCAD. Luckily, mine was evidently smaller than his, and they were able to patch it with the stent. But I guess the SCAD, the rip in the artery, my body tried to patch it, which caused a blood clot, and the blood clot completely blocked the artery, and I had a heart attack.
Oh, my dear. Does that explain the pitchfork feeling you felt, the tear in the artery?
I don't know. I didn't ask for sure, but I can tell you about 3 weeks before that, right before going to bed, I now know what I felt was a warning shot. It was a mini dose of what I felt that night. And it did stop me in my tracks. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
Did you feel particularly in the weeks leading up to your almost fatal heart attack that something wasn't right with you, that something like an anvil was hanging over your head, but you didn't know what it was?
Yes. It must be common because, again, I told you when I was listening, and I was just so compelled to call. I was oddly obsessed with death, my own. My friend's boss, and I have a joke that whoever dies first, we're going to go eat pancakes on their grave. And I had just said to him the day before, you know, if I die first, you better go eat pancakes on my grave, because that would just be so funny.
You know, I have a theory that I can't prove, that your subconscious knew that your body was in trouble. Your heart, your arteries were sending messages to your brain, almost like, get this woman to the hospital, get her to wake up and get to the hospital. When you were leaving home, I'm curious as to whether or not you had the thought, am I ever going to be home again?
Yes, I did.
That is one of the most sobering thoughts ever, when that happens, when stuff gets real.
Yeah, I just kept reaching out to my child and saying, I love you.
Your son was in the ambulance with you?
No, they wouldn't let him come in, but as they were carrying me out, I was, you know, I wanted, that was in my mind. He needs that, to hear that again.
How, are you doing any cardiac rehab?
I just started yesterday.
Sisters?
Sterling. It's called Sterling Heart Care or Sterling Cardiac Care.
I usually don't ask for names, but I'm just very curious about the state of cardiac rehab. So emotionally, we obviously can all hear in your voice what a traumatic experience this is. Did they talk with you about what you're likely to experience for months and possibly even years?
A little bit in the hospital, but I guess that's part of what rehab is going to be. But, you know, when you were saying, I don't know why I'm here, it's a miracle I'm here, it does mess with your head, because so many doctors and nurses said, the word repeated the phrase, you're a walking miracle. This is a fatal event. I can't. And then they did say, you know, the one nurse said, people who occasionally do survive, they're very brain damaged or their hearts are very damaged. And I don't know why, but I'm not. My heart is not damaged. Little teeny tiny bit. My brain, good, bad, or otherwise, is intact. I am essentially at that level unscathed.
Of course, listening to my show, that might be in some question, at least your sense of discernment and good judgment. This call has been absolutely remarkable, Susan. You started off so with such trepidation and so hesitantly, but you pulled it together and you constructed a narrative that you should really go back and listen to this at WBEN.com, transcribe everything you said and submit it as an article to some online site, because there is so much. What are you laughing about? Have you already done that?
No, I just hadn't.
No, because
I thought about that.
What you said was just enormously powerful. And I want you, Susan, to tell the people listening to this program what you think they should learn from the experience you had. And one of the things that I would like to emphasize, if you suddenly are, without any good reason, obsessed with mortality and thoughts of your own death and that something is not right, to me, these are premonitory signs. They don't happen to everybody. They happen to you.
I agree with you. So thank you for even taking this call, because it's been pressing in my mind. I have to tell people not this message. So this is what I would love everyone to hear. and maybe particularly women, because we tend to take care of others first, sexist or not, the message is the paramedics don't care if they come to your house and you're okay. If you even think anywhere in your heart, mind, or soul, I might be having a heart attack, ignore the thing that's telling you that it's not happening. Just call 911. Do it. Because if I hesitate, if I drove myself, if I had my son drive me, if I didn't call and they weren't here and then got me immediately to a cardiac center, I would be dead. Don't die from embarrassment.
That's very powerfully and well said. Susan, you have just presented one of the most incredible dissertations of what it is like to experience a heart attack that I have ever heard in my entire life. And I guarantee you that anybody listening to you speaking, who has also experienced a heart attack, was nodding right along with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're alive, Tom. I'm so glad I'm alive. It does carry a feeling of why was I spared? Super quick end note, I did something nice for someone recently, unexpected. Somebody needed some help, whatever. And my son, he got back in the car, and my son said to me, "Mom, I hope that wasn't just your purpose that you fulfilled, because now you're going to drop dead tonight."
No, that's pretty funny, Susan. I don't even know how to thank you, how to begin to thank you for this phone call. You doing this for a living, you hope that you get. I mean, it's always great to see a whole bunch of lines blowing out of a phone. That's always great, but to get a call that is this linear, that is this eloquent, that is this sincere and heartfelt without being breakdown emotional, it doesn't happen every day, and it doesn't happen every decade. It's maybe a few times in a career do you take a call like this, and I think that you saved. I think that down the road, I'm probably going to get emails from people saying, "Would you please tell Susan she saved my life?" That's one of the best.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not making it up. And I guarantee you that any physician listening is saying, "Amen." That was absolutely brilliant. But please go back, transcribe it, and put it online and have people share it, because that was just amazing. Thank you so much. And you take care of yourself, and just remember something: the emotional thing that can pop up for years afterwards.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things. But thank you very much, Susan. I am honored to have talked to you.
Likewise, Tom. Thank you.
I'm left speechless by that phone call.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.